Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Irish Bookkeeping and Payroll podcast. I am your host, Neil St. Denver. And in this week's news, we have our usual updates from the Revenue Commissioners. What's due for filing this month with the Revenue Commissioners? Security on your bank laser card. Important security updates for your computer. And Microsoft's new version of Office, Microsoft Office 2010. And the alternatives from other software companies, both free and paid. So, news from the Revenue Commissioners. Just one interesting e-brief issued by the Revenue Commissioners I've picked out this week. It's Revenue E-Brief number 33/10, Income Levy. And in their words, updated arrangements regarding the operation of the Income Levy are available on the Revenue website in the form of a Frequently Asked Questions PDF. Topics included: incomes liable to the Income Levy, exemption categories, thresholds, underpayments and overpayments. So some of the types of questions are: I have overpaid the income levy in 2009. How can I claim a refund? What income levy figures do I put on my income levy claim form? Is maternity benefit subject to the income levy? And lots more questions. The link to this PDF is on our website, bookkeepingpodcast.ie. The income levy is a pain if an employee has more than one source of income, because the income levy is payable on all income. In some cases, they are paying the wrong rate of income levy because in job one, they don't pass the 2% threshold. And in job two, they don't pass the 2% threshold. But both salaries combine together from job one and two, and they should be in the 4% bracket rate. And if they don't pay that levy during the year, they will have to pay this income levy at some stage. There's no escaping it. So remind employees of this and put them on the higher rate of income levy if necessary. It does not affect you or your business, but it will affect them. Returns due for filing this month. Well, the PAYE for April is due on the 14th of May. The VAT for March-April is due for payment on the 19th of May. And the VAT for the January-April 4-month VAT period is due for payment on the 19th of May as well. The RCT for April is due for payment also on the 19th of May. If you use the Ross online system, you can get an extension until the 23rd of May. The VIS is due by the 31st of May, that's the VIS for April. And the Intrastat for April is actually due on the 10th of May. Now, the VIS and Intrastat are not tax returns, they're statistics returns, but you're still liable to file them. And just a note on filing your PAYE and VAT and RCT. People stop filing these returns when they get into trouble with cash flow and they say, oh, we can't pay it, so we won't bother sending it in. But even if you can't afford to pay your VAT or PAYE returns, file them. Why? Because the revenue will keep sending out estimates which bear no resemblance to what you actually owe. If they send the sheriff after you, everything will be based on those estimates. It is good to know what you do actually owe. If you need to do a deal for installment payments with the Revenue Commissioners, you have all the information already completed and filed. So the taxman has all your information at his fingertips and he can organise a deal with you. So if you need a tax clearance cert, you won't get one if your tax filings are not up to date. But if you have everything online, he may still issue you with a tax clearance certificate, because you have all your tax information there and you've done a deal with them. Now, on a very different issue, a note about your bank laser card. Laser cards are very popular now and they're replacing cheques. But those point of sale machines, those machines you swipe your card through, the ones on the counters and shops, they're being stolen. And what's happening is these guys who steal these machines are taking the card information that's in those machines, which contains the full details of your card. So what they do then is they take small amounts from your account, such as mobile top-ups. Then if they see there's no reaction, they go for the bigger amounts. So watch your bank account. These card details could have been stolen a year ago. These guys just sit and wait and then suddenly one day pounce, so be alert. When a laser transaction first hits your account, it has an unusual transaction reference. It may just say laser TX May05 or May05 laser TX. So it doesn't say who the supplier was. But if you come back the next day, you will actually see who the supplier was and the date that transaction took place. So The date on your bank statement may be different to the date of the laser transaction because it hasn't got processed by the bank until whatever date is on the bank statement. But the transaction detail tells you when the transaction actually took place. Now, this is really where you should have banking online, because you can see your bank accounts and your credit card accounts live. You can see these fraudulent transactions quickly. You can also see who has paid you if they're paying by electronic transfer, and see who you have paid. So those direct debits, have they actually left your bank account? And you don't have to wait for a bank statement. So go banking online. I know it costs a few bob, but it could save you money in the end. Also, that AIB fraudulent email that we mentioned before is still doing the round, so don't open emails claiming to be from AIB. And another dodgy email has caught my attention, and it has a subject line of, "Please look at my CV. I have figured out that you have an available job. I am quite interested in it, so I send you my resume." Don't open this email. It contains a file that will infect your computer with a virus trojan. So if you are actually doing job interviews, be careful about opening the CVs that are attached, because they could have viruses. In this case, just delete the email. Don't look at it, just delete it. Now, business software updates. Expensify is now at version 2.1. This is just one of my favourite applications for the iPhone. It takes pictures of my expense receipts and helps me create expense claims. I don't need to worry about losing all those little small dockets because I have pictures of them all. So it's at version 2.1. The other usual suspects, the Adobe PDF Reader. Don't forget to turn off those preferences we talked about in episode 10 and make sure you're using version 9.3.2. There's also a video on the Bookkeeping Podcast website showing you how to turn off those preferences and check for what version you're using. Java version 6 release 20 is the latest version of Java. And really, really important, to make sure your antivirus software is up to date. Now, actually check and make sure that it's up to date. The Opera internet browser has another security vulnerability, so if you're not on version 10.53, go get it. The Safari browser on Windows is at version 4.0.5, and this has a vulnerability, which as of today, there's no fix available. So if you're using Safari browser to access things like Gmail or other email services, you can open emails which will infect your computer. Because this flaw is in Safari, the best thing is do not use Safari. On the Bookkeeping website, the Bookkeeping Podcast website, there's a link explaining in more details if you want to read about this particular flaw in Safari. And now the question is, how did Safari end up being your default internet browser? Now, unless you really want to use Safari, well and good. But you may be using it and you don't even know, because every time you start a browser, it'll ask you, do you want to set this as your default browser? And most people just choose yes, even though they don't really want it as their default browser. So in future, just read what it says on the screen. But Safari comes down with any iTunes updates or any QuickTime updates. It's another option, and most people just say, ah yeah, download and install, and when you install it, it makes itself the default. So just be careful in future. So if you want Internet Explorer or Firefox or Chrome to be your default browsers, look for the options to set them to default. And if another internet browser says, do you want to make me the default? You just say no. Also, if you're using Yahoo Messenger, this is at the moment being targeted and it could infect your computer. So be careful about that. Now, Microsoft Windows itself, there was a few updates, important security updates during the week. Not an awful lot of them, but install them now. So no excuses, install them now. Those updates are important. Microsoft Office. Microsoft Office is the most used word processor and spreadsheet. There's a lot more to Office, but Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel, they're the main programs that people use. Well, Microsoft Office 2010 is on its way to you in June. There will be an online version, both a free and a pay version, and these are called the Office Web Apps, but they do not have all the features of the full desktop version. and you must always be connected to the internet to use the web version. Now, Office 2003 is still very widely used, but it is going to be much harder to get onto new computers. Office 2007 was, up to this Office 2010 version, the most up-to-date version. And there is a radical difference between Office 2007 and 2003. Now, there's not so much of a difference between 2010 and 2007. But again, you people using Office 2003, it looks like you may be forced to go to 2010 the next time you buy a computer. Now, you can try the Office 2010 beta at the Microsoft website. The link is on the website, Bookkeeping Podcast. Or you can just go there to Microsoft and have a look at the new features. Microsoft has a home and student version. It does not have Outlook, the email program, but it does have Word and Excel, and it's priced much cheaper. It's a 3-license version, and it can be installed legally onto 3 computers in your home. There are other alternatives to Microsoft Office, and they can all work with Microsoft Office files. OpenOffice is one example, and it's at version 3.2, and this is actually a free program. Corel has WordPerfect Office X5. It hasn't just got a word processor, it has a lot more stuff, like in Office. And they also have Corel Home Office, but both of these you have to pay for. There's also the online suites such as Soho Office and Google Docs, and both of these are free. Now, there's many others available, so for you people using them out there, fair play to you. But have a look around and see what you actually need. And just to give you an example of what you can do with Google Docs besides word processing and spreadsheets, I use Google Presentation, which is a PowerPoint equivalent, that created a PowerPoint presentation that played back in the Microsoft PowerPoint Viewer. PowerPoint Viewer allows you to play PowerPoint presentations without the need to having the full version of PowerPoint. And it's a free download from Microsoft. And again, the link is on our website, bookkeepingpodcast.ie. So if you do need Microsoft Office, you may not need to buy the version with PowerPoint. Just use the Google Docs version for free. So that's it again for this show. Links to all the software and websites talked about here are available on our website at bookkeepingpodcast.ie. If you use iTunes, please rate this show and help us move up the charts. If there's a topic dear to your heart that you would like to discuss, well, send us on to us. Whether you run your own business or work for someone else, we would like to talk with you. We can record Skype calls and we can talk about your favourite topic related to bookkeeping or payroll. Or you can just, of course, send us an email. So all correspondence with the show, our email address is the same, bookkeepingpodcast@gmail.com. Please put in the subject line what you're contacting the show about. For example, put news in the subject line if you are sending us some news. And again, thanks for listening.